All right, hello and welcome back to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen. Oops, is it Rescue Bots Academy? Because I was watching Starfleet Academy instead.
And I'm David on a new mic, so this might sound weird.
And yes, this episode we are back to school, literally, because we are watching Back to School. The first episode of the second season of Transformers Rescue Bots Academy.
We are now back to the small baby children.
Yes. Sadly, no Rodney Dangerfield in this one.
The small baby children who get no respect.
Funnier if we were alternating between this and, like, the War for Cybertron series. I feel like the mood whiplash between this and Cyberverse, like, we could be doing better.
Yeah, the grim darkness of dark grimness.
So grim and dark.
So sadly, Ratchet is in this one, but he's not doing the infamous triple Lindy.
Alas.
And yeah, this is the first episode of the second and final season.
Yeah, well, the first season was really long, and the second one, I think, is also long.
Is equally long. So we're looking at another 52 episodes, or which will be 26 episodes for us.
Yeah.
Good. We have half a year until we have to go back into Cyberverse Season 3, and we have to deal with the thing I hate.
So yeah, this is Back to School, first aired March 21st, 2020, written by Jody Reynolds, frequently seen around these parts, last seen writing All That Glitters, the one where they went to the Old West.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. And she's writing both of our episodes this time. So yeah, so we're back at the Academy. Chase and Heatwave are just enjoying how much peace and quiet they've got, and how nobody's there, and they could just chill out, and then immediately the students come back and ruin everything.
Poor adults.
So they had a spring break between seasons?
Well, I guess between semesters, I guess.
Maybe they had a summer break.
And it's possible they had some sort of, like, made-up Transformers holiday in between there, like they just had on Starfleet Academy.
Ooh. Maybe.
And sadly, like, one of them didn't stay behind in, like, the holdovers type situation.
Oh, that I recently saw that over the holidays. It's so good.
Good movie.
Yeah. Well, it's a Paul Giamatti movie, so. Well, no. The rule is not that Paul Giamatti's only in good movies. It's that he's good in all movies.
Yeah, and unfortunately, even though Starfleet Academy just did the holdovers type episode, Paul Giamatti was not in that one.
Oh, man.
No, he was in a different episode.
Should have been a goddamn reference.
I mean, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense to have a deranged space pirate in his role from The Leftovers.
Yeah.
And yet, have you seen that movie?
Well, I have. This is true.
He's not the space pirate part, but a little bit deranged, yes.
A little bit.
Just normal Paul Giamatti levels of deranged.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're back. They ruin everything.
Hoist crashes into a bunch of stacked crates and says, good things those crates were here to stop me.
And so then we find out what will basically be the, I assume, the main thrust of this season. So,
well, after they restate their character types.
Yes. So they all are, you know, to hone their individual skills, they're all getting their own training zones, their own little danger rooms.
Yeah, well, previously existing rooms mostly get remodified for them specifically. Yeah. Although I don't remember seeing Medix's, like, med bay before.
Yeah, so he's got a med bay. Hoist has a lab.
I have a question about his med bay, which it's all white. There's very little going on there. there's a red ball hovering there. And someone asks what it's there for. And he says, don't touch it. And they touch it, and it just bounces all over the room.
It turns out what it's there for is to steal a gag from the first Men in Black.
Okay. I haven't seen that in a while, but I do have it on VHS, so I may have to pull that out.
I just watched it with the nephew a couple weeks ago, and it's the exact gag where there's like a ball hovering, and then a guy knocks it, and then it breaks everything. I know it's Will Smith, y'all. I'm gonna pay for that.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I'm not sure what medical purpose that serves. It's for bounce therapy.
Fair.
So Hoist has a lab that is explosion proof, which is very important.
Yes.
Wedge has a gym. Whirl has like a wind tunnel.
Wedge wants you to know if there was a competition for which one of them was the least competitive, he'd win it.
And of course, Hotshot has an action matrix,
which he's just going to use to play cube.
Yes.
It's the indoor ball court that we've seen before.
Well, that's what he's got it turned into. I assume if it's an action matrix, it can change into different configurations so he can try out different alt modes, which he will never do because he always just wants to be a hovercraft.
Yes. And then, hey, Optimus Prime is here, and he is telling them that they're all going to also get their own personal tutor of the older bots.
His mask chin continues to be not okay.
It's his character model did not make the transition to this art style well.
Someone obviously had an idea there that they would just make the mask his chin. It was not a great idea. It was
No. Should have gone back to the drawing board on that.
I mean, points for being unique, but...
Well, I guess.
No points for being distressing.
Yeah. And hey, so to find out who they need to go with, we're all going to meet Medics' uncle. It's Ratchet, everybody.
Uncle Ratchet!
Hey. Ratchet is an unk now?
Yeah!
Yes.
He's Uncle Ratchet.
Not doing the... Not really doing a Jeffrey Combs impression here.
No,
not at all. It's... I can't even tell if it's a good voice. It's just so far from Jeffrey Combs it annoys me.
I'm also not entirely sure how to do a Jeffrey Combs impression, but it's not great.
We've seen enough Star Trek. I think we could probably try with some practice.
Anyway, he's there, and he's created the Aptitude Analyzer, and it is going to analyze their personalities and everything to see who their ideal mentor is.
It looks
like
it's just
what happens if
a plasma ball on a stand.
Yes. What happens if two of them have the same ideal mentor?
Hmm.
That is a good question.
It's like I got to do double duty.
Oh, I just checked because I had to dig my keyboard out from under cats. It's the same Ratchet as Cyberverse Ratchet. Same voice actor, Todd Perlmutter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, he is at least consistently Ratchet now. But he is not sounding like Jeffrey Combs. He's just sounding like Cyberverse Ratchet.
Mm. So the tests begin. They get put on treadmills. They have to look at Rorschach tests, and I don't understand why they had to pick one that looks like my parents fighting.
Also. Ratchet is shrink is a little odd.
Is it Hotshot who suggests that his mentor could be Blur? Because let's not give Blur a student.
No.
That's not a good idea. He doesn't need to be influencing the next generation.
No.
Also, Hotshot just assumes that all of these things are races.
Yes. I mean, that is also how you determine if Optimus Prime had been replaced by a clone.
That's true.
And I guess, Ratchet is just kind of every kind of doctor.
I guess he's a Marvel doctor.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is proficient in all of the STEM fields.
It's like how there's a Thor issue where Dr. Donald Blake, a medical doctor, builds a robot.
Yes.
It's just, is this the first animated Transformer that is being a shrink? And it's Ratchet.
I think so. Unless you count any of the guys. I guess they're like the ape guys from Webworld.
Well, those aren't Transformers, so.
No. No, I think this is the first Transformers psychiatrist.
Yeah, and it's Ratchet. That's just a weird joke. Well, we know a few from the comics now, but...
I mean, Teletran X was making an attempt at the end of that last season of Cyberverse.
No, that's true.
But again, not a Transformer.
That's fair.
He doesn't count as people.
I have so many questions about Transformers culture and vehicles like spaceships.
And then, anyway, so then the final component of this is a maze. And of course, they all have their unique ways of getting through the maze.
Yes. Whirl just cheats. She just transforms and then flies up above the maze.
Yeah, yes. I kind of expected her to bump into a force field at least.
Nope.
Although, turns out she's having some problems because she thinks that it's going to analyze her and decide that she sucks too bad to have a mentor.
Yes, she is having insecurities. Poor kiddo.
Yeah, but good news, Hoist is there, and he's like, listen, this isn't really that kind of show.
Good point. You don't get rid of a character at the beginning of a season.
No, no. You're not getting Tasha Yard. Don't worry.
Oh, man. Never forgive them.
She's not getting The Rocked because she's already been in a full season.
Yes.
Well, there is that. So they get here, and it's a real sort of like sorting hat kind of thing, I guess.
I guess.
Oh, so this is phrenology? Oh, goody.
I mean, it's not actually going on their heads.
No.
No. So Whirl gets matched up with Chase, a pairing that I'm sure will be hilarious.
Yes, I can only imagine it will be a lot of fun to watch.
Medics gets blades.
Yay! They're going to go off and watch some TV.
Oh, that will be
entertainingly disastrous.
They're going to
go off and neurodiverge together.
Yes! Like good boys.
And Wedge gets Bumblebee. It's a real jock connection. And Hotshot really open for Optimus. He gets Heatwave, who's kind of like, you know...
Okay.
Like a great value Optimus.
Yeah. I mean, if Optimus has more important things to be doing, but they do kind of tease like it's gonna be Optimus, but no, it's Heatwave.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Hoist gets Grimlock.
What?
Hoist, noted guy who is afraid of dinosaurs.
Yes.
Noted guy with a Dinobot phobia that may or may not count as racism.
Yes. And interestingly, we're flashing through like a bunch of like headshots from guys as this thing calculates it. And we see a guy who we haven't seen before, but we are going to see later in the season.
Okay, because I was freeze framing it because I thought there was a weird one in there. And there's other characters. There's also Bulkhead and the other guys we've seen. But yes, there is a head.
Shall I reveal who's that head that is?
Sure, because it was confusing me. I thought it was just like, it's like a... Well, it looks like Ironhide, but black.
Is it actually who I think it is? Because he should not be allowed around children.
What?
Is it... who are you thinking?
I thought it looked like Impactor.
Oh, it is not Impactor.
Who, again, should not be allowed around children. I think the nose thing and the head crest is very Impactor shaped. Yeah. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, we're not going to see this character until episode 16, but it's Perceptor.
Oh.
What?
I guess his head is black,
but it doesn't feel like a Perceptor-shaped head to me.
Yeah. I'm just going to be off in fanfic world imagining Impactor having to deal with children. Hmm. I'm sure he'll try his best to keep the potty mouth under control.
Yes. And that is where we end things, in back to school.
Yay, we're back to school. We had a sorting hat moment.
Yeah.
It's fine. It was just a plasma ball.
Yes. Yeah.
At least they actually, like, went through tests and stuff, and it didn't just measure their head shape.
Yeah.
Yes, and also it's not pairing you into, like, good, evil, smart, and stupid.
Yes.
It's just pairing you with, like, a guy.
Yeah. It's just, it's more of a personality match than, like, a moral judgment of your character.
It's like signing up for OKCupid.
Yeah.
All right, so we start off with one of our more intriguing mentor-mentee pairs in Mission Dinobot.
Just going to dive right into that.
Yep, this one first aired March 21st, 2020, and like last episode, it was written by Jody Reynolds. So we're in the danger room, and we're looking through, you know, all of our possible rescue simulations, but they kind of already did them last year.
Hotshot wants a cube game mission.
Yes.
I'm like, that's not a mission unless it's like a Black Friday kind of situation. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But hey, Ratchet has designed a whole bunch of new Danger Room missions.
Yes, brings in a new cart of...
an N64 cart. N64
cart, yes. I was trying to get there, my tongue was not letting me.
They're doing GoldenEye, but it's slappers only.
Wow, it's been so long, I don't even remember that.
I died so many times playing GoldenEye.
I remember the occasional no odd jobs rule, but...
See, I was so bad that all my friends had to let me be odd job as a handicap.
Oh.
And I still lost all the time.
I don't remember if I ever won either, but then again, I didn't own an N64. I just played at other people's places.
Yeah, same.
I hate that controller so much.
It's that little joystick.
Interesting. It's so wild.
It is a controller not designed for the human hand.
No,
it's
still
designed
think I
for
like...
something with three hands.
I didn't even own one. I still think I have like cartilage damage from that.
Yeah, it's not good. People complain about the Dreamcast controller, but it's so
yeah,
good.
Well, were the testers, did they have like huge hands or tiny hands or like maybe huge hands or like tiny hands but huge thumbs? Or maybe huge hands, tiny thumbs?
It's very weird.
I'm off on a side quest now because I thought there was like a story called like a novel that got turned into a movie called Black Friday that was about like trying to bomb a football game.
That's Black Sunday.
Black Sunday. Okay.
By Thomas Harris, the same guy who wrote the Hannibal Lecter books.
Yes. I'm very a person who used to work in a used bookstore and has gotten a lot of a very wide but shallow pool of knowledge of stories. So, yes, they could do a cube game simulation to prepare for a Black Sunday situation.
All right, Whirl, you're going to have to go stop that crazy Bruce Dern. The wildest thing about that movie is that even though somebody hijacks the Goodyear blimp and plans to assassinate the president with it, it's still like the Goodyear blimp with like full approval from the Goodyear Corporation.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a little weird, but I guess that was in the 70s, right? Maybe that was just easier to pull off.
Yeah.
Like late 70s. Apparently they had like conditions. Like the villainous pilot could not actually directly work for Goodyear. And then the blimp itself could not kill anybody. Like, you can't chuck a guy into the propellers.
Well, yeah, but you could try. You just can't do it.
Well, no, I mean, you couldn't do it in the movie.
No, that's what I mean.
Yes.
It's 1977 for the film.
Yeah, good movie, though. John Frankenheimer.
That feels like something that should be remade in a way.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm all up for, like, the disaster movie to return.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of disaster movies, as I think has been established. So, yes.
I mean, I'm more of I prefer maybe the 70s style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, smaller scale, not destroying the whole world.
I mean, you can't have that now because there aren't a bunch of, like, there aren't a lot of, like, aging golden age of Hollywood movie stars looking for a paycheck.
Well, not begging for a paycheck. They're all aging.
Well, not begging for a paycheck, but, you know, looking for a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really have royalties back then. And, yes, sure, I, Jimmy Stewart, will accept a check to be in Airport 3. Which he is in.
I should watch the one of those with a Concorde in it.
Oh, that's the fourth one, and it's terrible. That's the worst one.
That sounds amazing.
And none of them are that great. Personally, I might go with the second one just because that's the one that they lifted a lot of the bits from for Airplane.
Okay.
They lifted basically everything. It's that movie just with jokes.
I think I've just seen the first one. I think I've only seen the first one.
I mean, the first one's kind of closest to being like a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also quite partial to the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
See, they need to load these up as scenarios for the rescue bots.
Oh, man, or they do the swarm and they just gotta team up with Michael Caine to fight a bunch of bees.
Oh, no, that one's just, no. No, they did remake the Poseidon Adventure like a decade ago or something.
Yeah, and it with like Dennis Quaid. It wasn't very good.
No, I didn't hear good things about it.
I think the disaster movie just didn't survive the 70s. Not like, really. It sort of came back with, you know, your Emmerich movies.
Yeah, which are too big. In a way.
Well, also, a lot of the 70s ones are not actually about divorce, whereas for some reason,
yeah,
Emmerich has divorce as one of the central themes
of everyone.
Of his movies.
Frequently.
Like, did his parents get divorced when he was a kid or something?
Mm. I think that's just the only thing that he thinks straight people do.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like,
oh, yes,
that's how straight relationships just natural life cycle.
Oh, yeah, so straight people say they get the divorce and then they get back.
Yes.
is the heterosexual condition.
Yes.
Also, there must be the evil stepdad.
Mm.
Yes, that's important. No, the stepdad has to heroically sacrifice himself. That's an important part of it.
R.I.P. Michael Pena in Moonfall.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I spent a lot of time being, like, instead of daycare, just, like, being at my grandparents' place, and they got Reader's Digest. And the Reader's Digest would always have, like, stories of both real and also fictional disasters. And at 8 years old, I was eating that stuff up. I was mostly unsupervised.
And of course, Hoist is not so excited about, you know, the whole working with our mentors thing, because his mentor is a terrifying Dinobot.
Poor kiddo.
And so it just so happens that Grimlock just sort of busts in like he's Uncle Buck, and he has got a mission for the two of them to go on with two of his old pals who are also Dinobots.
He just breaks in there and abducts him.
So they just end up in, like, this jungle, and it turns out his pals are Sludge and Snarl.
Yay! And they're just very G1-looking Sludge and Snarl.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Much like Grimlock, they do not actually transform over the course of this.
No, they're just dinosaurs all the time, because I guess if you could be a dinosaur, why would you ever want to be something that was not a dinosaur?
That's entirely fair. That is reasonable.
And they are just kind of Grimlock's bros.
Yeah.
Yes. They are very bro-y. Like,
before that, we learned two things about Grimlock. One, he has an uncle called Humongousaurus.
Humongousaurus.
And his safe word is scream if you want to go faster.
Yes.
I really like with him running through the forest with Hoist, like, sitting on him backwards, because he had just set him up there with his tail and telling him to scream if he wanted to go faster.
I mean, what that really means is that Grimlock is actually a huge fan of Jerry Halliwell's solo career after she left the Spice Girls.
Ah. I continue to be a big fan of how much this Grimlock absolutely feels like Robots in Disguise Grimlock.
Who, yes, and
he is continuity-wise, but that's the kind of thing you could see them sort of forgetting about.
I mean, that's kind of what they forgot with Ratchet.
Yeah.
That Ratchet also maybe does not need to be allowed around children.
Yes.
That Ratchet hated children.
He did.
So, yeah, like, notably. So, yeah. But Grimlock is still very solidly the proper continuity's Grimlock.
Yes.
You can imagine Kerry Payton delivering all those lines if they could have afforded him.
Mm-hmm. So the plan is that a recent earthquake has unearthed a crashed spaceship right by a human town. And so they have to get it out of there without the nearby humans noticing.
Yes, so the humans are not cued into the fact that there are aliens just running around, sometimes being robot dinosaurs.
Nope, it's just the citizens of two small New England towns and also the U.S. government.
I do like Grimlock saying that if they were revealed to the humans, they'd say, oh no, it's a huge and surprisingly handsome Dinobot.
Yes. And so, you know, Hoist starts helping them push, and obviously his strength is nothing compared to these dinosaurs, so he just decides that he's going to take five.
Yeah. He needs
and let them push.
He needs to be the supervisor, yep. Which is kind of what he's going to figure out.
As he supervises, he notices that they're actually doing it the wrong way, and they're about to pull, you know, they're about to cause an enormous avalanche. So he has to, so he's sort of hemming and hawing about telling them. But then when he finally does tell them, they're like, oh, yeah, sure.
We Dinobots respect someone who speaks up for himself.
That's right.
Yeah, so Hoist is like, wow.
Someone who shouts very loudly.
He's just like, wow, that's not how I expected this to go, but okay.
This is surprisingly non-toxic masculinity.
Yeah, nice. That is a nice moment of him being, like, scared to speak up because they're big and scary and tough, and he does,
yes.
And he is respected.
Mm. And so indeed, his plan, because he is Hoist, is to hoist them. Or is to hoist the ship.
Yes.
It's important. You gotta do the thing that's in your name.
So he taking a page out of the book of the professor from Gilligan's Island, he builds this giant crane out of, like, tree trunks and vines and leaves and stuff.
Yeah, naturally occurring pulleys and levers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like you have.
And, you know, give me a place, give me a lever large enough and a place to stand, and I shall move this spaceship.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of, the spaceship is an odd design. Like, it's...
It is. I'm not sure exactly what its deal is.
No, it's mostly like your classic circular UFO disc, but, like, it has some fins on it and a command section on top, although it's still kind of small. Well, it's... Small, I guess, in comparison to Dinobots. I guess it's big enough for a rescue bot. Child to sit inside. But, well, it ends up being, what is it, a cargo vessel or of some kind?
Cargo drone, yeah. He says.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's unmanned.
Right, so I guess that's like we're not unearthing a ship that has, like,
dead bodies.
Dead people on it.
Oh. Right. Got my hopes up.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Or new characters who we have to introduce. Those are the two options.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that when they first met, the Dinobots sort of have like an insult-based communication system.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because when Grimlock first gets there, he tells Sludge that he both stinks and is poor.
Yep, that's Dinobots.
He says, oh yeah, hey, at least I can buy a watch, and also, you smell like a Cybertronian swamp weevil. Which I assume just looked like Drillbit from Beast Wars.
Yeah, that's fair. That seems fair.
Because that toy did indeed stink.
Aww.
Oh, poor lad.
I mean, it was like misdesigned. Like it has pegs that don't go anywhere.
Oh. Speaking of pegs that don't go anywhere, Amalgamus Prime! Like, well, no.
Oh, yeah, I've got that guy. I hear he's kind of a mess.
Okay, here's the thing. Well, one, mine's slightly mispainted, but that's not a problem. His tolerances are kind of funky. I'm trying to convert him into this first vehicle mode thing. And I thought, and it makes a lot of sense, because he's a guy whose limbs pop off and things. The shoulders do not pop out. I thought they were 5mm. Those suckers are bolted in. I thought I could, pop them off and move them, like, higher on the body or put them somewhere else. No. Huh. Like, the arms come off, but the shoulder assembly does not. And that's weird.
Bizarre.
And the waist doesn't pop off either. Like, most of his body stays together. Just his legs below the knee and arms from the elbow down come off. Why? He should come apart more. It's bizarre. Anyway, that's your toy review side trip for the day.
Toy review. Toy review time.
So they get this ship out of there and they ride it to freedom.
Or at least back to the base.
Mm-hmm. So they get back there and Ratchet's like, oh yeah, it's an old cargo drone. Well, I'll see what's in its vault. And I don't know if that is a thing that's going to be like a plot point later. So I have to find out, because I have not seen this show.
I mean, that is... I am curious. It could just be nothing, or it could be something that will come up later.
This show's been pretty good in previous season about, like, things that happen come back as other things. So I'm guessing it has something. It'd be neat if there was a new rescue bot child in there or something. Or at least a mini bot.
I don't know if they'd be in a cargo drone. Maybe there's some kind of, like, alien stuff that they have to do something with.
Stuck in there.
Maybe they have to deliver it. I have many questions.
Yes.
Anyway, but Hoist gets all the credit, and he is deemed an official Dinobot. So he tries to give a good roar, and it doesn't really work.
Aw, he tried.
He tried.
He's a good kiddo. And he gave it a try.
So that thus endeth the episode. It was a fun pair of episodes. I'm interested in these pairings that we're going to get.
Yeah, I'm sure Whirl and Chase are going to make for a fun episode.
I'm a little bothered that it's set pairings. I presumably they're going to break that up, but like,
yeah, we'll probably mix it up a
little. That it's set up into comedy duos is. I guess it makes it easier for writing, but it feels, in a way, limiting to me.
That's true.
Yeah, I can imagine them maybe switching it up sometimes, but yeah, I can see that feeling kind of like then you just always have the same set pairs, and it's not as fun as mixing things up. Giving the entire crew to Blades for a day. Also, it's probably a good thing no one got Ratchet to be paired up with, because he doesn't like kids, except they aren't writing him as very primey, so...
No, not at all.
I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe this could be him, like, trying to be nice. I like that it's Uncle Ratchet, because you gotta have people be uncles, because that's the Uncle Donald rule of characters.
That's right. James Bond Jr., nephew.
Yep.
Nobody has sex on cartoons. They can only have siblings who have had sex.
Yes.
And even in that new DuckTales, Huey, Louie, and Dewey, they don't even get a father, do they? They've just got a mother and then question mark?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a couple years, but yeah. Huh. Their mother is great, though. By that, I mean she's a disaster in a way that female characters don't often get to be, and I appreciate that.
All right. So, of course, that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. And until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Facebook. We are on... Blue Sky, we're on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yep, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can listen to our monthly special episodes where we do fun stuff, sometimes stuff that ties in with things that are going on, sometimes the big thing that is going on, and sometimes it's sort of a running to-do list of things that we've been meaning to do. So for February, for once in our blessed lives, Rob is actually offering up a good Marvel show for us to watch, a good Marvel cartoon.
Yes.
We are watching... I know. I mean, except for the opening, because, oh my god, that opening.
Yeah, the opening is, like, bad feelings. It's like, oh no, not again.
We're going to Bad City for that opening.
Yes!
Because our world's about to break.
We watched an episode of Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes with a certain Mr. Simon Williams showing up. Not really Wonder Man yet by the end of this episode, but yeah, he's there. His brother is there being Lance Henriksen, which I am very excited about as someone who is very slowly working their way through Millennium. Yeah, it seems like pretty solid show. Lots of stuff, like lots of drawn out plot stuff going on. So that is on Disney Plus, but that one episode which we're watching is for Patreon. So iaconunderground.com or patreon.com/iaconunderground. And next month, have we figured out what we're doing next month? What's March?
We were thinking maybe Superman, but we're not 100% sure.
If we got time, yeah.
Yeah, because it is a lot longer to do an entire movie than to do a 30-second movie. Or a 30-second, a 30-minute movie.
30-second? Oh, we can do 30-second movies. Yeah,
so...
Yeah, next Patreon, we're just reviewing a couple of Quibbies. If anybody remembers Quibby.
I remember talking about Quibby. I certainly never actually installed Quibby.
Neither did anybody, which is why it's not around anymore.
Yeah. That was some amazing timing. Releasing a short form vertical commuter focused sort of broadcasting streaming platform.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it was like supposed
right
to
at
be
the
commuter
start of
focused.
COVID.
Jeez, it got what it deserved.
Yeah, so that didn't work. But yes, that would be funny if we did an episode on some stuff like that, but I don't think anything we care about came out on Quibi.
No.
I don't actually know what any of their programming was like, but I don't think there was any, like, sci-fi or animation.
Was that the one with the woman with the golden hand?
Yes. That it was kind of like a sort of like horror sci-fi anthology.
Oh, it was an anthology. That sort of makes sense. But God, just the clip of that is so stupid. I want to keep my golden hand. It's killing you, but I want to keep it. Why? What is this?
But it's gold. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor we're going to beat you over the head with.
Also, David, would you believe that that segment had something to do with Superman?
Was that lady the Lois Lane or something?
That was Lois Lane with the golden arm. Rachel Brosnahan.
Oh. Well, maybe we'll have to watch that at the beginning of... I mean, I don't know if I... That stuff has to be preserved. Oh, no. Now I'm going to get upset.
I mean...
It's like, that stuff has to be preserved somewhere, right?
At least an episode of that on YouTube. It'll
be on
YouTube or something. But no, I would assume most of the stuff that's on there, it's gone. Like vines, unless you preserved it, it's gone.
Well,
although
it's a good thing.
A lot of vines.
It wasn't worth preserving. It's a good thing it sucked.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we have time, we will do Superman. If we don't have time, then I guess we'll come up with something else. Oh, speaking of Superman and our Patreon. So for Patreon, when Superman came out, we did an episode of the mid-aughts Legion of Superheroes cartoon, which is coming to Tubi.
Huh.
There is a big, they're getting like 100 different WB and Hanna-Barbera shows coming to Tubi at the beginning of March, and that is one of them. So that will actually be available for people to watch without having to shell out for the entire Blu-ray set or find them pirated. So that is exciting. I personally am excited about that.
I'm excited to watch the whole thing. I've never watched it.
Yeah. Do you get Tubi in Canada?
We do, but they don't always have the same things as they do in the States, so I'll have to find out.
Okay. You have to see if it's Canadian. I can hook you up with a VPN.
I'm certain you can.
I will tell you, Tubi does not generally care if you're using a VPN. Some stuff is fussy about that.
I mean, Tubi doesn't care about anything.
No.
Mostly no. Just log in and it's happy.
Tubi loves you just the way you are.
Yes, Tubi doesn't even really ask you to log in. No. You can log in if you want to, like, keep track of where you were in watching Challenge of the GoBots.
There's some things you have to log in to watch, I think, because I've had issues, because I've never logged in.
Also, Challenge of the GoBots is on there if you want to see Challenge of the GoBots looking way better than Challenge of the GoBots has any right to look. Oh my god, that remaster is incredible. Meanwhile, Transformers is sitting there at like 720p tops. Sad. It's real sad. Hasbro needs to get with it. That is our Patreon for February is Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes tying in with Wonder Man. You can hear us being amused at how upset Thor is by the existence of MODOK. And March, maybe Superman finally.
Right. Well, until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm not sure I like Amalgamus Prime. I'm David. He's a mess. It's stress marks all over the place. There's, like, the hip screw is, or the crotch screw is messed up. It's, And let's hope this audio turned out good. Record and let us hope my voice comes through on this mic.
Okay.
Dulcet tones there.
That is upside down. All right. Oh yeah, it's always fun when Rob breaks into song and then I try to sync him to the song, which is my way of saying I haven't finished the Bionic 6 episode quite yet. I'm more than halfway, I think.
Getting there.
Easy to do tonight. And then I got to do the Patreon. I thought I already did the Patreon. I didn't already upload the Patreon, did I?
I don't believe so.
No.
Shit.
I wrote the post for it, but it has not gone live.
Okay. For some reason, I could have sworn I already did it, but I guess that slipped through the cracks.